Blog Talk Radio.
Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. Amen. We just want to thank the Lord and give him praise because he's brought us through an entire year. Amen. An entire year he's brought us through. And God is faithful, amen? Regardless to how fickle we become, regardless to how much we have disobeyed him and rebelled against him, he still loves us. And he extends his hands of fellowship, his arms of loving kindness and support to us always. Amen. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian church, and we meet on the internet and at the local location on Sundays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America. We welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are on an Android device, a cell phone, an iPhone, or a computer, we invite you into our chat room. And our chat room is located on our webpage. Our webpage is www.miracleinternetchurch.com. That's miracleinternetchurch.com. If you're on a computer, we invite you to open two windows of miracleinternetchurch.com. The first window is for MIC Radio Chat. There you may sign in at the lower portion of the page on the left-hand side under the word visitors in the icon that is circular and has a looks like it has a stick in it. Click that and sign in and greet the other saints in the name of the Lord. We are a loving ministry and we fellowship together in Jesus' name. And then in the second window, use it to open Blog Talk Archive Sermons. When the page opens, scroll down to upcoming broadcasts, and you may listen through your computer or technological device. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, we want to thank the Lord for everything he's done, so let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen? We want to thank him and give him praise. He's been mighty at work. He's been powerful. He's been touching our lives. He's been changing our lives, and we don't halfway pity patty. We applaud him like we mean it, like we're putting our hearts into it. Amen? Amen. Like we're thankful and we're grateful for everything that he has done. Amen? Amen. 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 So, Father, we just come before you thanking you, Lord. It has been a challenging year, to say the least, but you have been with us every step of the way, and you will take us through every day that is to come. Amen? For those of you who are new to us, we celebrate the Lord in Holy Communion at the beginning of every service. And so we encourage you to gather your elements, your bread, and your fruit of the vine. Amen? So that we can come before the Lord together and seek his face, and show him that we love him, that we appreciate him, and that we honor him. Amen? Amen. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as your people. We are thankful for everything that you have done, all that you have changed in us. We are not the same people we were when this year started out. We have changed, Lord. Your word has changed us. Our eyes have become open. The scales have dropped off of our eyes. We see what we did not see before, and we know what we didn't know before. We've come to know you better, Lord, and we're following you. We're listening to you. We're opening up our hearts to you, Lord, and we're allowing you to direct our lives. When we come to church, we give of ourselves to you, Lord. We yield to your spirit and to your grace. We're learning, Lord, to acknowledge you in all of our ways so that you can direct our path. And we're obedient, Lord. We don't just come to church on Sunday, but we come to church on Wednesday and Friday. We're learning to be faithful to you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together in the unity of the Spirit, Father. We thank you, Father, and we ask you, now that you are in our midst, to come and reign over us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the wall of fire with your glory in the midst. We thank you for your warring, linking angels and your praising angels around us, Father, in Jesus' name. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man and all of his evil angels, all evil spirits, all demonic agents, all of his underlings, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire on God, of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and the workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains and darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporting, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, all trafficking demons, all reporting, watchers, and all technology devils in Jesus' name. We bind all Leviathan spirits and their attacks, and all Kundalini spirits, all marine and water spirits, all sex devils, all unclean spirits, all passive devils, all antichrist spirits, all sorcery devils, all seducing, womanizing, drone, and whoredom spirits, and all of their attacks in the name of Jesus Christ. All the voices of the stranger and their attacks, all hypnotic trance devils, all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons, chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind all Morgellons attacks, and we return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide, and we bind all free-flying devils. We bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, and all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. And we bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formation of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders and their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, mammon and his agents, and all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, and stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, and reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone who had to work today that would normally be with us in service. We ask you, Lord, to release your hosts to protect them in Jesus' name. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New Age movement, false religions, numerology, horoscopes, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, all antichrist ideologies and doctrines, all Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, and the king of pride. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, all combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptations to sin. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Apollyon, Zeus, Neptune, Python, Basilic, and Moloch. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, potting calls, cold spots, and return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride of our own foolish opinions, and we return and loose all retaliations of the enemy upon his own head, according to the scriptures. And the saints are praying in their prayer languages. Amen. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven, and we bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. Lord, we have come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into your truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief in whom we serve and obey. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all who are in authority and all true Christians. And though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We lift up President Trump and all of his supporters to you, and we ask, Father, for your protection. We release Psalm 91 over all in the name of Jesus Christ. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we bind all of the witchcraft done during the high days in Jesus' name. We bind every grove and all of the wickedness that takes place there in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind the Bohemian Grove in particular in the name of Jesus and all wickedness that is done there in Jesus' name. We bind up every sacrifice that was done there in the name of Jesus. We bind the works of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, sorcerer, magician, and we break the power of all the curses, hexes, vexes, spells, charms, fetishes, and all works of witchcraft, all mind control, all sickness and destruction and death, all bewitchments released in Jesus' name. And we return all the curses to the sender according to the covenant. In Jesus' name, we bind spirits of spiritual blindness and spirits of bondage, heaviness, fear, and hate in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the Republic of the United States of America and for Canada and for their survival and continuance in spite of insider opposition in Jesus' name. We bind the work of every infiltrator in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for their uncovering according to the scriptures in Jesus' name. We continue to pray for President Trump and his supporters that they will remain true to the truth in Jesus' name. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Father, we pray for all churches that belong to Jesus Christ, that they will keep the faith as it was once delivered unto the saints in Jesus' name. We pray for the ignorant saints, that they will come to know the truth and repent of their sins in Jesus' holy name. We pray for Alex Jones and others like him, that they and their supporters would remain safe. We place them under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ and under Psalm 91 and the God of Psalm 91. We pray for the foolish people who are now caught up in a system of lies that will lead them into the pit of destruction without your intervention, Father. We ask for your intervention into their lives, Father, that they might be saved. We know that it is your desire for all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we pray for the unbelievers that they may be saved in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness because you are always good to us. Amen. We want to thank you also, Lord, for the many miracles that we have had all year long. And in particular on Friday night, we thank you that the brother is recovering from his surgery, that he is walking, and that he did not enter into death in Jesus' name during the surgery. We want to thank you, Father, for the others that we have prayed for that have been ill, that the enemy has attacked. We thank you, Lord, for their rehabilitation, for everything concerning the mind and the body to come into agreement with your spirit. We wrap the blood stripes of Jesus Christ around them, Father, and we ask you to release your strength and healing into their vessels in Jesus' name. We lift up to you, Lord, the mind of everyone who is rightly connected to this ministry, and we ask you to heal every mind in the name of Jesus. We ask that you release your healing virtue into every mind, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. You desire for your people to be whole. You have released unto us the mind of Christ, and we receive it in Jesus' name. We receive our healing, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. A mind free from bondage in Jesus' name. A mind that is no longer focused on sin and unbelief. A single mind, not a double mind, in Jesus' name. A mind that is able, Lord God, to obey Philippians 4:8 in Jesus' name. Father, we repent of every time we have allowed the enemy to work in our minds, and we did not obey 2 Corinthians 10:5. But, Lord, now we cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We pull down these strongholds. We arrest these thoughts in the name of Jesus Christ. We put them in a cage, and we send them to the feet of Jesus for judgment. We thank you for Hebrews 9:14, washing clean our minds with the blood of Jesus Christ. We receive the cleansing that comes from the hand of Almighty God in Jesus' name, and we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And, Father, we repent of our sins, the things that we have done that were not pleasing in your eyes. We repent, Lord, of things that we failed to do that we knew that we should have done. And we ask you, Lord, right now to search every heart where we have unforgiveness and hatred and grudges and bitternesses and offense, Lord. We repent of it now and we turn from it forevermore. We turn and we say we will sin no more because we have come into covenant with the Most High God. We ask you, Lord, to touch each heart, to let your light shine in our hearts that we might see where we have erred from the truth in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up those who have, in their own stubbornness and conceit, failed to come to you. We ask you, Lord, to draw them closer by your Spirit. We ask for your mercy to cover them and for your grace to lead them in. We thank you, Lord, for touching their hearts, touching their minds, and convicting them, Lord, showing them clearly the error of their ways and the power that they have given to unbelief and rebellion. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord, for bringing them out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We give you praise. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. We thank you for them coming into the kingdom, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for them coming into the kingdom, Father. Those that we have stood for, believed for, prayed for, fasted for, we thank you for them coming into the kingdom, Father, in humility in Jesus' name. In humility, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. We thank you, Lord. And said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Partake of the cup." "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that chastisement, that we should not be condemned with the world." Amen? God loves us so much that he corrects us so that we will not be condemned with the world on that day. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Well, today, saints, the Lord has a word for us. Amen. He has a word for us because we need one. We need one. Amen. We need one. We need to hear from our Heavenly Father. And we need to be willing to obey him all the time. Amen? All the time. Not some of the time. All the time. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord's way. This message is about the Lord's way. Not your way, not my way, the Lord's way. Amen? Amen. Job chapter 32, verse 8. Job chapter 32, verse 8. "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. This understanding is a gift from the Lord. It is in direct relationship to a successful and truthful relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen? Those who go their own way instead of his way do great damage to their own selves and often place others in jeopardy. Amen? Those who go their own way instead of his way do great damage to their own selves and often place others in jeopardy. It is the will of God for men everywhere to depart from evil. That's a good place to say amen. Job chapter 28 and verse 28. Job chapter 28, verse 28. "And unto man he said, Behold the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." So God wants us to know from the beginning that reverencing him, honoring him, obeying him, holding him in high esteem, so much so that we bow ourselves before him without being told to do so, is wisdom. And in departing from evil, there cometh to us understanding. Amen? Amen. Psalm 34 and verse 14. Psalm 34, verse 14. Depart from evil. That would say that we need to recognize evil, realize that it does not please the Lord, and make the choice to separate ourselves from it. Depart from evil and do good. It's not enough to just leave evil. We must choose to do good in its stead. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace with God. Seek peace inside of ourselves. Seek peace with others and pursue it. Go after it. Don't just wait on it to land on you. No, do the things that bring peace about. Amen? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Amen? Don't think you know it all because you do not. Don't think you're such a suchy much. You're not. Don't think you've got all the answers. You don't. Don't think you know what's best all the time. You don't. Amen? Be not wise in your own eyes. Don't say to self, well, I've got this taken care of. Not necessarily. Instead, reverence the Lord. Fear the Lord. And depart from evil. What evil? Being wise in your own eyes. That evil. Well, I thought. Well, you would think people would. No. Depart from evil. Fear the Lord instead. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 19. It is abomination to fools to depart from evil. It is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Fools live in evil. They wallow in it. If you've ever seen a hippopotamus in the summertime in a pond or a lake full of mud, and he's enjoying himself getting cooled off, that's how fools love evil. They can't get enough of it. They're always there. You can count on them to be there. All the evil they can't find, they'll drum it up. Amen? Chapter 14, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. You see, there are things that God thinks are evil that we don't think are evil yet. That's why we're still doing them. But a wise man fears the Lord and separates himself from evil. But a fool rages and is confident. He just keeps going on and on and on and on in his thing, and he's certain he's got it together. You couldn't possibly be right. You can't tell him anything. Because he thinks he knows everything. You've met those before. You try to speak to them a word, and actually all you're doing is quoting a scripture. But they won't receive it because they think they know everything, and what could you possibly know? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. And if you have been that person at any time, repent. Amen? By mercy and truth, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Amen? By God's mercy and his truth in our lives, those generational sins that we grew up with are purged from our lives. That iniquity goes when we let it go. And And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It's because we honor the Lord, because we worship him, because we esteem and value him and his word and his truth that we choose to depart from evil. Proverbs 16, verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. That's the highway. There's a highway to heaven. And none can walk up there but the pure in heart. On that highway, you must depart from evil. You must leave it behind you. You must separate yourself from it, and you must not turn back to it. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. It doesn't say that God comes and preserves his soul. It says he does it himself. By keeping himself in the Lord's way, his soul is preserved. It doesn't say his pastor comes and does it for him. It says he does it himself. Amen? Amen. We should always seek to honor the Lord through our perpetual, our continual, our ongoing and steadfast obedience and humility so that we may find grace to walk in his way. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God who works in you, that who causes you to first desire for your will to be turned, that you'll desire to do his will, and then to do that that is his good pleasure. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. And the Lord commanded us to do these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. We fear the Lord, we reverence him, we worship him, we esteem him, so much so that when he speaks, we immediately jump to do what he says. Why? For our own good. For our own good. That he might preserve us alive. This is a relationship that we have with the Lord. It's not religion. It's a relationship. And in this relationship, we have a covenant, an agreement with our God. And in this covenant, he has given us laws and statutes and principles and concepts. And when we do what he says, we receive the corresponding blessing, don't we? And when we don't, we know what happens then. Amen? John chapter 8, verse 29. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 29, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 8, verse 29. Jesus said the following to us. The Father hath not left me alone. Why? For I do always those things that please him. For I do always, not every now and then, always those things that please him. I choose to please him always. When we rightly apply God's word to our lives and continue to follow the word of God, we move into God's way. Finding God's way is a result of an inward transformation So where does this change happen? It happens inside of us. Established in the knowledge and then the understanding of the Word of God. First, we come to know the Scriptures. We become familiar. And as we familiarize ourselves with the Scriptures, as we meditate on them, as we memorize them, as we place the Word in our hearts so that we do not sin against the Lord, we move into the understanding of those Scriptures. Amen? So that we can rightly apply them to our lives on a daily basis. Those with an overabundance of demons in the mind will find more difficulty in this area than others. Those who have given themselves over to witchcraft, to sorcery, to sexual misconduct, and to immaturity will discover much opposition to God's way within themselves. Amen? The mind is a terrible thing to waste on sin and unrighteousness. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, the Lord says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." Stiff-necked, you're going to do it your way. You're not going to be turned. You see, you're turned by your neck. Your head is turned by your neck, but your neck is stiff and you refuse to be turned. Furthermore, your heart and your ears, you know, the heart is where the issues of life flow forth, and your ears to hear the word of God, they've not been circumcised so that they're tender and yielded to the Lord. So you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Now, if the Holy Spirit is coming to lead us and guide us into all truth, to show us what to do in every circumstance, to be our helper, our comforter, and our teacher, you would think that we would not want to resist him. Amen? You would think that we would not choose to resist him. But oftentimes, in our own rebellions, we do. So did our forefathers, because rebellion entered the human race in the Garden of Eden. Eve was deceived, Adam rebelled. Now, some of us say, well, I don't knowingly rebel, but you know, sometimes you need to think about that. Sometimes we override the Holy Spirit simply because we'd rather do something else. Amen? Those who keep a fascination for evil may eventually be lost. A fascination, a bewitchment, a trance almost with evil. These people can find evil everywhere they go. Evil doesn't have to come to them. They end up seeking it out. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27, the Lord says, "Woe to you hypocrites, for ye are likened to whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." So what does that mean, Pastor? It means outwardly when people see you, you look like the holiest person on earth. You're always smiling, always happy. Oh, that's such a wonderful person. Mm-hmm. Lord said, but inside you, that's another story. Inside you, you are full of dead men's bones. What does that mean? The sins of your forefathers. You're loaded with the sins of your forefathers. The sins they did, you're repeating them, even though I've called you out of them. And you are full of all uncleanness. Usually in the Bible, not every on every occasion, but usually in the Bible, when it talks about uncleanness, it's referring to perversion and sexual misconduct. You're full of your ancestors' sins, iniquities, problems, and distresses. They're just loading themselves up and rolling, and you're still going, like, this is what I'm supposed to do. Amen? When we choose to forsake sin and evil, we open for ourselves an avenue which will lead us to righteous choices. Amen? Which will lead us to righteous choices. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. The Lord calls us to awake to righteousness and sin not. And he says that some have not the knowledge of God. He tells us to awake to righteousness. Obviously, we ain't woke. We're still walking around in sleep where it comes to some things. And you say, well, Lord, I repented of everything I know to repent of. And the Lord says, but I've got more to show you. And it's inside you. It's not outside coming to knock you in your head. It's inside you. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, God's extending his mercy in this matter, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy. Now, that's the first thing. It's got to be holy. Amen? Amen. You can't say to God, I can't be holy, because he calls us to be holy. As he is holy, and thereby acceptable unto God. This is our reasonable service. We owe this to God, to have our bodies a living sacrifice, living with him inside of us, obeying him continually. And be not conformed to this world. Don't keep doing things the way the world does them. Come out of that. I've called you out of that. I'm training you the God way. And be ye transformed. This is how the change is coming, by renewing your mind. The way you think, what you believe, how you see it. You see, some of us are still using the mindset that we grew up with, that God has called us out of. Those are those dead men bones still in you. The way you grew up, but it's not quite what God would like. It doesn't line up exactly with the Holy Scriptures. Our minds have to be changed from what they were to what God is calling us to be, to line up with the mind of Christ. For what purpose? That we can prove and demonstrate and put on display in life what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see, we are living epistles read of all men. We are like a love letter from God, from everybody to see when they see our lives and how we live them. We are on display for people to see, oh, this is what God is like, when would they see God in us, especially those who live with us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Once we choose to respect, honor, and reverence the Lord, we are embarking on his way. We must learn how to regard the Lord with great respect and affection. That's something we learn. And we should increase in that knowledge as we grow in the Lord. This is not a one-time thing. This is continual. As long as we are on the earth, we partake in this growth. We must learn to humble ourselves before Him always. It's a continual learning. We must learn to honor the Lord with our obedience to Him and with our praise of Him. We continually learn this more and more. Amen? It's not like we take one dose of it, two doses of it, three doses of it. No, it's continual learning. We grow in this learning. We are established in this learning. We bring forth fruit in this learning. This learning never stops. And if you ever stop learning, you stop growing in the Lord. You've left Him somewhere. We must learn to surrender our own opinions and judgment in exchange for His ideas. That means we have to let go of the way we see it. When God says, I expect you to forgive that person that just withheld from you what I sent them to give to you, that means you can't hold a grudge. That's what you would normally have done. You would have become offended. You'd be offended with that person. You don't want to be bothered with them anymore. But we can't hold on to that mindset. We've got to let that go. Because God causes the sun and the rain to come on the good and the evil alike. We've got to switch our what we normally would have done and turn that into God and say, no, you died on the cross for that sin. And my flesh was crucified there too. So now in the new way of living with you, I'm going to do what you do, Lord, not what I would have done. We make an exchange, and it's continuous learning. We learn to do it more and more. We must learn to forsake our own wishes, choosing instead to give the forefront to His direction. We must learn to wait for His instructions rather than pushing our own agenda. Now, you know we do this. We get this idea in our minds, and then we go out to execute our idea. But sometimes, saints, we need to wait for His instruction. Our idea might not be exactly the way He wants it done. Amen? Amen. We must learn to deny self-will and lawlessness, preferring that to please the Lord instead. So in John chapter 3, verse 30, John chapter 3, verse 30, the Lord says that He must increase, but we must decrease. We must choose to allow the Lord to increase while we decrease. He's more important, we're less so. He's in the forefront, He's in the leadership, we are following Him. Amen. And this is a work. This isn't a one-time thing. This continues through every step of life, every single day. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Jesus, and He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, Lord, I really don't want to do this. I know it's Your will, but boy, do I not want to do this. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. In spite of what I want, in spite of what I think, in spite of what I don't want to do, whatever You will, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. And many of us are going to discover that there are situations that we can't come to this place without fasting and prayer. There are going to be certain circumstances that are going to challenge us. And the only way we're going to get to but as thou wilt is through prayer and fasting. Amen? Amen. Some of us have discovered that already. In Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Take away this responsibility from me, this thing you're charging me with and calling me to. Nevertheless, in spite of all of that, not what I will, but what thou wilt. You see, not seeking to please self, seeking to please the Lord. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. In other words, he's already taken hold of this responsibility, this assignment, this calling from his Father. He's taken hold of it, and he's saying, please take this back. But nevertheless, in spite of what I'm facing, not my will, but thine be done. He comes into agreement with his heavenly Father, even though it meant him facing death and taking upon him all the sins of the world. Because you must realize that to this point, Jesus Christ has never experienced sin. And sin is a horrible thing. Not only sin, but the sins of the whole world. From the very first sin all the way to the very last. He took it all. All of it. Not part of it, all of it. So you see, there are times when the Father will call us to do things that we find difficult, challenging, almost insurmountable, and sometimes we're going to think it's impossible. But nevertheless, not what we feel like doing, but what he wants us to do. Amen? In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Reverencing the Lord, willing to do at any cost what he's calling us to do, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of making right choices every time consistently. With in mind the will of God. Because you see, the wicked make choices, but they do not consider the will of the Lord. They consider what they want to do. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And as we grow, that will mean more to us. In Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, not a few, all. So when you go to witness to that person, you must already know that they have some knowledge of the grace of God. It might not be much, but they have something from somewhere. Teaching us that ungodliness and worldly lust, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly or seriously minded, not frivolous, not in fantasy, not in naivety, not in foolishness, not in immaturity. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We should live our daily lives looking forward to the Lord coming back, looking forward to being raptured out of the earth, looking forward to appearing before the throne of God, giving an account for the things we've done in our body. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10. A good understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. In other words, as we obey God, as we do what his word says to do, the understanding begins to come to us. It's not that we get the understanding first and then we obey the commands. No, it's the other way around. We obey him first, and then the understanding, the fullness of it, begins to come to us. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We must learn to keep ourselves in a place of submissiveness before the Lord without pride, without self-importance, without self-assertion, without pretensions, without boastfulness, and without conceit. Amen? We have to keep ourselves in that place because all of us are human and prone to err. All of us have a place in our lives where we really don't want to be all that submissive. There is a place. It's there. See, when I haven't found it, keep living. You will. All of us have those little spots and places. So we have to work toward staying before the Lord without exerting our own pride, without our own self-importance. We all carry some of that around. Without asserting our own self. We all have some of that. Without pretending, being truthful with the Lord, being forthright, not being disingenuous, and not using any boastfulness. And not walking in conceit. What does that mean, Pastor? It's not all about you. That's what that means. It's not all about you. It's not about how you feel. It's not all about what you're going through. It's not all about what has or has not happened to you. It's not all about you. It's about the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. It's not all about you. When we must choose not to insist on our own desire. That's what we heard the Lord doing in the scriptures, not insisting on his own desire, but rather make a highway in our heart and mind for the plan of God. We have to make way in our heart and in our mind for God's plan to come in, because it may be completely opposite from what we want. It may not be at all what we want. I remember a time where I couldn't see myself pastoring anybody. And I went, when the Lord tried to bring that thought across my mind, I just couldn't get it. I'm like, what? And one day the Lord finally said to me, you know, you're already doing it. And I had to stop and think about what he was saying. He said, you're actually already doing it. You spend nights praying for other people that don't give a hoot about you. They do their sin and they don't care. They got their nose in the air. But here you are fasting and praying for them to come out of it. You're searching the word, looking for something you can use to say to them to help to get their attention when you talk to them. You're laboring before me on their behalf, not your own behalf. You've already grown past that. You're trying to get them to the right place. You're already doing this. And as I began to do it, he was right. I have been doing this for a very long time. I didn't just start the day I took over this pulpit. So you see, saints, as you go and as you do the will of God, whatever that is, even if it is just to watch out for that little old lady down the street, as you do it, the Lord is working his will out in your life, and you're beginning to produce more fruit than you were producing before. He has a way that doesn't always seem right to us, but he is right. Amen? In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, also less than what he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We're not supposed to use our own idea about ourselves. We're supposed to use God's idea of us. That's who calls us what we are. We must keep a right opinion and estimation of ourselves, for we are but dust before him. We are not the great I am, but he is. Neither are we the end, the bottom of the world. No, we're found in Christ Jesus. That's not possible for us to be at the bottom. We are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. He tells us that in the scriptures. So for us to walk around with this opinion of ourselves that does not line up with the scriptures is sin. And we have to come out of the poor little old me mentality. I'm just a victim. I've just been through this. No, he says you're overcomers in Jesus Christ. The overcomer lives in you. So stop giving yourself excuses for not overcoming. You are well able through Jesus Christ. Amen? Once we take hold of a fitting estimation of ourselves and a proper acceptance of who God is, we will begin to esteem his greatness, his authority, and his reign over all that exists. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, God says to us, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. This is what God says of himself to us. When we recognize this truth and decide to allow it to have full weight, authority, and rule in our daily life, the Lord imparts to us an ability to judge correctly. So if you're not making proper judgments, you don't understand Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. That's what he's saying. And by obeying him, we choose the best course of action. By obeying him, we choose the best course of action. So when we get further down the road and it doesn't look quite the way we think it ought to, we don't have to look back over our shoulders because we know we obeyed him and we know we are on the right path and we know that our steps are being ordered of the Lord. And we know that we are in his care and his providence. No need to fear because I've obeyed the scriptures, I've obeyed the Lord, I've done what he said, I'm in the right place doing the right thing at the right time. Amen? We start to depend on God's value system. We change our priorities, giving more importance to his character being developed in us. Amen? We begin to operate out of God's value system, not the one we've always had. He's got a better idea, not four. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not. Notice the opinion that is not according to truth here. This one thinks he's rich and increased with goods and doesn't need anything. I'm doing just fine. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I don't really need you right now. But God says you don't know that you're wretched, that you're miserable, that you're poor, that you're blind, and that you're naked. Notice, this one sees his rich, his stuff, and he ain't got any need. And God sees that he's wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Look at the contrast. He looks at himself one way. God looks at him completely different. So, to this, God adds his counsel. Not that the man asked for God's counsel. It is not listed that he even desires it because he thinks he doesn't need anything else. I've made it to church. I go to church every Sunday now. I've fasted. I've prayed. I know how to do a little spiritual warfare. I know 10 scriptures. I got it made, God. But that's not what God says. God says, I counsel thee. I'm giving you some good advice. Take it. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Your stuff doesn't make you rich. And white raiment. White raiment speaks of the righteousness of the saint, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. Why? Because you're blind and you need to see. And Jesus is the blind man healer. As many as I love, Jesus says, I rebuke and I chasten. I rebuke you and I correct you. And I do it on a regular basis. For those he loves, he does this. He didn't say he does it for everyone. He says, as many as I love. He could have said, I do this for everybody, but he didn't say that. He was very specific in choosing his words. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So when you are rebuked and chastened of the Lord, he is expressing his love for you. Be zealous. Be happy, excited about it, and repent. Don't just sit there with your mouth stuck out and sulk and pout with God. Repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I know you hear me. I know you're in there. Stop ignoring me. If any man hear my voice and choose to open the door, you have to open the door for the Lord to come in. He's not going to barge in. You don't want to hear from him? You won't. I will come into him and will sup with him, dine with him, fellowship with him, and he with me. So you see, the Lord is desiring closer fellowship with us. But we need to do some things too. The Lord allows experiences in our lives that bring us to our knees so that we can come to realize our continual need of him and of his way. Our continual need of him and his way. In John chapter 5, and verse 30, John chapter 5, verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing, Jesus said. As I hear, I judge. As I hear my Father's words, I use his judgment. And my judgment is just. Why? Because I got it from the righteous judge. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father. I'm not seeking to do it my way. They won't be singing that at my funeral. Because I'm not seeking my own will. I'm seeking to do the Father's will. My will cast aside. Amen. Amen. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 15. John chapter 8, verse 15. Ye judge, Jesus said, after the flesh. You judge according to self, what self thinks, believes, understands, and has experienced. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father have sent me. I'm not sitting up here doing this myself. I'm depending on the Father, Jesus says. John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Righteous. You're not sure what the righteous judgment is? Go to the righteous judge. He will help you. You can't use your opinion all the time. It's not going to give you the answers that you need. This scene will repeat itself over and over in our lives until we begin to understand that without the Lord, we can do nothing. Nothing. And I mean nothing. Absolutely, positively nothing. And some of us haven't learned that yet. We're still stumbling over this one scripture that without him, there is nothing you can get accomplished. It's just that way. Psalm 32, verse 8. Now, I have a fondness for this scripture because I learned it many decades ago. The Lord spoke it to me, and he's speaking it to you. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's what he said. He would teach us and instruct us in what we're supposed to do. In other words, we need to be taught. We need to be instructed. We don't know already. And he will guide us with his eyes right on us. That means you go to veering, don't think he doesn't see it. Verse 9, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding at all, whose mouth has to be held in with a bit and bridle. Don't let God have to shut your mouth. Don't let him have to turn your head this way and turn you back that way and treat you like that. No, willingly follow him. Willingly yield to the Holy Spirit. Willingly obey the scriptures. Don't let him have to be like a rider on a horse. No, when he says come, you come. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's not treat God that way. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear, the reverence, the humbling we do before the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When we come to him, we're coming for his knowledge because we need it. We don't have it all. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to be told anything. They don't want to hear. They don't want to know. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He will hold our tender part in place. He will gird us with his strength and keep us from doubling over. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. God's going to hold us on the right path if we choose the fear of the Lord. But, of course, we must choose it. Proverbs chapter 94. Proverbs 94, beginning with verse 8. I'm sorry, Psalm. There's a Psalm 94. Amen. There's only 31 Proverbs. Okay, Psalm 94, beginning with verse 8. Understand ye, brutish among the people. What is God saying to me? Well, I'll help you with that. God has plenty to say to us. Why? Because we don't always do right. That's why. If we did right all the time, there would be no reason for correction. No need for him to guide us with his eye on us. But we don't always do right. Understand, ye senseless among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? You're not hiding from God. You're in plain view. And all that backwardness, he sees that too. Just say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Failure to go the Lord's way may open the door to defeat. My son, Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 21. My son, let them not, speaking of the word, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. We need that. Proverbs 4, beginning with verse 5. Proverbs 4, beginning with verse 5. Get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't go back from what God said to do. There you go. Well, the Lord, I thought you said the Lord told you not to go down to that girl's house. Well, I'm just going down there to see if she has that nail polish I've been wanting to wear. But I thought you said that the Lord told you not to go down to her house anymore. I'm just going to be down there for a minute. And it's just that simple. That's how we disobey and get on the right track, on the wrong track. It's just that simple. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. What's circumspectly? Looking around every way to see what's going on. Circumspect all around. Not just I see this spot right here. Pay attention. Not as fools but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Yes, these days are evil. They are very, very, very evil. We must learn to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and a mouth that is out of line with the Lord. Thinking to ourselves that we know a better way than the Lord's way is a sure sign that foolishness is our God and not Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. At some point, they've got to come to listen, but it won't be until they find out how wrong they really are. Amen? Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. Let nobody deceive their own selves. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. If you think you know so much because of what you have gained in this world, you need to come sit yourself down at the feet of Jesus and actually discover that you're more of a fool than you are wise, so that you may in truth become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. The people in the world think they've got it going on. And the more we think like them, the more foolish we become. The Lord tells us in the word that the light of the body is in the eye. And if our eye is single, focused on him, he's our light and our body is full of light. But if our eyes are evil, our bodies are full of darkness. We can't serve the world and Jesus Christ too. We're going to hold the one, and we're going to despise the other one. Ecclesiastes. Turn there because I'll be there in a second. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We must come to value those virtues that are most important in life. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 12. Wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Amen? It gives life to people that have it. People that understand, no, this is not the thing I ought to do right now. I ought to wait to hear from God, and then I ought to act. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy time. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy time. You need this wisdom now. You need this knowledge now, because our times have no stability, if you have missed that. The times that we are in have no stability at all. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is that man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not compared to it. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Amen? So, when we come to the Lord and we choose his way, we depart from evil. We forego the pride that brings destruction and the haughty spirit that brings a fall. Amen? He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. So we need the Lord to shine light on our lives. We need more light in our lives, each of us. We can make better decisions if we allow the Lord to do this. The entrance of thy words in Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple, those that just don't know. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Amen? In all wisdom. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We must learn, saints, to always prayerfully look to the Lord for our guidance and counsel. Isaiah 48:17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. But we've got to decide to follow him. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Hosea chapter 6, verse 33. Verse 3. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. If we follow on to know the Lord. Amen? So the Lord has said to us today, saints, that we're about to start a new year with him. We're about to go on from the places and the things that we have learned thus far. And we need more of his wisdom, more of his ways. We need to submit to him more. We need to fear him by obeying him, respecting him, honoring him, elevating what he has to say above the way we've always done it. Because he has some things coming up that are not going to look the way we think they ought to look. But know that he's guiding us if we are obeying him. Amen? Amen. Stand for the benediction. Amen. Stand for the benediction. Praise the Lord. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And everyone said amen,
amen
and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Amen.